The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
We are now into day four of the war between the US and Israel and Iran. And Iran yesterday hit Tel Aviv, killing 10 people and wiping out entire streets and buildings. And the Israeli Defense Forces announced earlier today that it has begun a large-scale wave of strikes on Tehran, having earlier announced its strikes on Beirut, where Netanyahu has approved a military ground incursion into southern Lebanon. And for more on this, I am joined by Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor in Peace Studies at Bradford University, and Paul Kearns, freelance journalist in Tel Aviv. You're both very welcome. Paul, I want to come to Paul. You're both called Paul. Paul Rogers, I'm going to come to you first, if that is okay.
Yes, sure.
What we are seeing in terms of what is happening in the region, obviously Iran and Israel at war, Hezbollah then firing missiles at Israel's northern, I suppose, regions, them retaliating now, talking about ground incursions. This is moving very quickly and spreading very fast.
It is indeed. I mean, some of us did expect that this would not be contained, but the speed of expansion, I think, is very surprising, partly because of the way that Iran is reacting, but also because of the high levels of force which Israel is using, and now, of course, on Lebanon as well as on Iran. I think there are two or three very interesting markers very quickly. The U.S. Embassy in Riyadh was hit by a drone strike more or less overnight. Symbolically, that's very important. You know, the United States has a very close relationship with Saudi Arabia. Riyadh is something like 500 kilometers from the nearest launch point of a drone. And yet, the Iranians were able to hit the embassy. Politically, that is significant. Militarily, probably not. But psychologically, certainly, will have a big effect on the Arab world. The second thing is that the United States has suggested that a total of 14 countries right across the region, all Americans should leave who can. And that really is indicating that we're in for a pretty long, potentially an expanding war. And the third thing, and I'd be very interested to hear what Paul feels about this, I think this war is being directed primarily from Jerusalem rather than from Washington. I think Netanyahu has a very strong handle on what is happening and a pretty clear idea of how he wants it to end. So it's a complex situation. It changes rapidly. We may be talking quite differently in 24 hours, but that's where we stand at present.
And in your view, Paul, still Paul Rogers, okay. How does he want it to end?
Well, I think what Netanyahu wants is an Iran which is crippled as possible, preferably denuded of any nuclear weapons capability. But more than that, the early indications, and I stress these are early indications, are that a lot of the Israeli targeting is against what you might call the economic and health substructure or infrastructure in Iran. Not across the whole country, although many cities have been hit, almost in demonstration shots. But we are seeing quite a lot of attacks on hospitals and health facilities. And that tends to match what happened in Gaza, what, a couple of years ago. That indicates, I think, that one requirement that Netanyahu has is whatever is left at the end of this, Iran must be a much weaker state with a much weaker military. And I think meanwhile, of course, he is making more rapid progress in what he wants to do in Gaza on the occupied territories.
Okay. Some of the narrative, Paul Rogers, on social media is the Iranian people have asked for help and Israel has answered. Now, I don't think anyone really is suggesting that Israel is engaged in any of this for altruistic reasons. But do you think that there is any possibility that what we could see is a changed Iranian regime that was more secular, maybe more democratic, and that ultimately after the dust settles from all of this, that we could see peace, in the region coming from this with Iran and its leadership gone, the old Iranian leadership gone, and its proxies in Hezbollah, the Houthis, Hamas, I suppose, powerless. Is that a possibility here? Because that would seem to me would be something that the US and Israel would like. But is there any chance of that?
Personally, I think it's extremely unlikely. But it's always possible. Now, obviously, we can hope for it. It would be tremendous. But you do have this rather extraordinary position that, you know, Trump has just established this board of peace, of which he is the head. And it seems to be something of a replacement for the United Nations, at least in the region. And at the same time, one of the first acts is actually to extend a war. So I think it's, I'd love to say yes, but I think it's highly unlikely, frankly.
Paul Kearns, if I could bring you in here. You are in Israel as we speak. We were in Tel Aviv. What is the mood on the ground within Israel and what are people saying there about what's going on?
Good afternoon, Kira. Well, the mood is mixed. You know, there's a view that this wasn't a war of choice. The country has, you know, witnessed a lot of missiles coming in the last 2 days. As you say, 12 dead already. What I would say, I think the war aims seem to have shifted from, and I would agree with Paul, from regime change to, you know, crippling Iran's missile capability. But I just rephrase it, you know, from the idea that Israel wants a weakened state. I'd say Israel wants a normal state, a non-terrorist state in Iran.
Okay. And do you think that Israel would be open to it with a change of regime, a secular democracy, or those types of things coming from this, which Paul has said and many other people would agree with him, wouldn't necessarily be the outcome here, but and maybe in fact be quite unlikely. But if that were to happen, could you see a normalizing of relations? Is there hope within Israel that what's going to happen here is going to fix the issues, I suppose, that Israel is having with neighboring states?
There is a sense, I would agree, that, you know, Israel has a kind of a slightly fantastical hubris view of their capability of reimagining the Middle East. But having said that, Israeli Jews have a long-standing sort of affection for Persian-Iranian culture. So the belief that maybe in the future they would have a positive relationship with a non-Islamic regime in Iran is possible. But I think the idea of regime change is just not likely.
And is that a view, would you say, that would be shared by many, that regime change isn't likely, that this is more likely just to be a protracted war on several fronts?
Well, I guess, you know, in terms of Hezbollah and Lebanon, you know, it wasn't Israel's choice to open a second front with Hezbollah. And to some degree, it was unexpected, having decapitated the leadership last year. And as we speak, rockets are coming into the north of Israel, which I would remind his Irish listeners that, you know, up to 20% of the Palestinian population of Israel live in that area and are particularly vulnerable. And Israel has called for an evacuation of southern Lebanon up to 10 kilometers deep in the state. So all is very unpredictable at this stage.
Okay. And maybe before I come back to Paul, just the conditions on the ground, if you were comparing them, Paul Kearns, you know, to what you would have seen when Israel had previously been on the receiving end of missiles, etc., earlier on in the war with Gaza and with Hamas. Are things worse or better now in terms of the incoming missiles to Israel?
It's a great question. You know, last year or the year before, when rockets were coming in from Hamas, at some point, many people just, you know, didn't run to bomb shelters. You know, if a rocket hit from Hamas, it could damage a building severely and people were killed. These missiles, these cruise missiles are a different order. They destroy entire city blocks. And, you know, a dozen people were killed in a synagogue on Sunday, even if they were, you know, they were in a bomb shelter below ground. So there's real fear, given the extent and the power of these missiles. And as I said, up to 12 people have been killed so far.
Okay. And Paul Rogers, if I could bring you back, were you surprised to see a second front opening up? Hezbollah had been considerably weakened, of course, previously by Israel, but obviously still capable of engaging in some military action.
Yes, I was surprised. I expected it at some stage, but not so soon. And I think that's important. Just one other thing that's worth mentioning. The official policy of the Iranian state is pretty strongly anti-Zionist. Mm-hmm. As we know, they want Israel basically got rid of in its current form. But that is not the same as saying it is anti-Semitic, because there is, in fact, a small but significant Jewish population in Iran, probably best part of 10,000 Jews in Tehran. In fact, Jews in Iran actually have a guaranteed seat in the parliament, in the Majlis. And I think the same is true, actually, of the Christian community. So there's some tendency to say, yes, Iran is necessarily anti-Semitic. It's more complex than that. It's certainly anti the current form of the Jewish state. But what that does mean is there could be some sort of opening at some stage, although one has to say, don't hold your breath on that.
Yeah, that is an intractable position to have, though, Paul Rogers, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be anti the Jewish state, even that idea from the river to the sea, or the stated, I suppose, aims of the former Ayatollah that Israel would be eradicated. Israel isn't going anywhere.
No, it is not, absolutely. And that is a non-starter as far as any sort of settlement is concerned. But I think it's also worth remembering that Iran is aware of Judaism from a Shia perspective. And it actually, as I say, it does have active Jewish and indeed Christian communities within the country. Not always having an easy time, but there are active synagogues in Tehran at the present time.
Okay.
I haven't been to Tehran for some years, but certainly that was true before, and I'm told that it's true still.
And maybe back to Paul Kearns, lastly. The Israeli people, I'm sure, are fatigued with war. There has been constant war for years now and very little respite even before that. Are they digging in for the long haul here, or what are they saying, the Israelis? I'm sure they must be weary.
They are, and there's a level of exhaustion. But I've said many times, there's no one Israeli. The mood and the political viewpoints here are very different. In an opinion poll just recently, before the war started, up to half were against any preemptive strike, and about 40% were in favour. Since then, obviously, with the war started, maybe the mood has slightly hardened. But you know, political views here are very diverse, and you know, the government is very unpopular. And there is a view that, you know, this is a war of choice on the behalf of Netanyahu. He's facing an election this year, and he's certainly doing this, I think, to believe that he can benefit from it.
Look, thank you both very much for joining us on all of that. That was Paul Kearns there, journalist, Irish journalist in Tel Aviv, and Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.